So we're going to get started on dreams again. The question is, did anybody understand last night or last week about my referring to the universe as solid and that you're moving through the universe and space and time is like pushing space and time aside? Did anybody understand all of that, or does it make any...
No. No. Karen's
speech. You what?
Karen says maybe she understood some, but it was kind of mostly lost on me.
Well, I guess...
I kept equating air.
You what?
I kept equating it to air. I couldn't get it past it being like air.
Yeah, but suppose an air is in fact little solid molecules, and then are you not pushing those little solid molecules aside?
Yes, I can get the air part, but I think what you're talking about is something different than that. Like,
well, I'm talking about essentially that space, which we think is just empty space, is molecules of something. It's not empty. That it's molecules of something that, like when you move through air or move through water or move through sand, you push through that material and it closes in behind you. In other words, as you move through water, sand, or air, you make a tunnel in the air or the sand or the water and it all closes in around behind you. Why would you have then a problem of saying or seeing maybe that space does the same thing?
Well, you'd mentioned that it's the same density.
What is the same density?
The density of this space, unless I misunderstood this, it has the same density of molecules as, I think Karen had asked, it had the same density as Pat, and you said, yeah.
Okay, let's assume that's the case.
How is it different that Pat is somebody I do not pass through?
But and it is, as I explained before, you don't pass through Patrick and you don't see through Patrick because his particles are lined in a way like atoms and molecules in such a way that they impede your passing through Patrick. But could you not be of the same density and etc., but aligned in such a way that both light and you could pass through Patrick if his molecule or particle alignment was in a different form?
Yes,
yeah,
and I've missed that, so that makes sense now.
Yeah, okay. Well, the reason I bring this up is simply because as that part last week was merely sort of an experiment to see, well, gee, if you can't understand that and it makes no sense, or you wouldn't believe that on your deathbed or something of that nature, Holy Mary, Mother of God, then... the things that I have to say about dreams, you wouldn't believe those either. What I was trying to say last week, here is an example to see if your mind, in a sense, is wide awake, and or if you are going to hang on desperately to what you think things are, or what you think people have told you things are, and you're not willing to look at different perspectives of things in your life. And especially as we get into dreams, or as I talked about dreams last week, not in a different way. If you're going to think dreams are what you think dreams are, then you might as well hang up. You ain't gonna get nothing I have to say. Okay? But the point is also, If you didn't get it or understand it last week, then I guess I should say, why didn't you bring it up? And bring it up when it comes up. And the same thing applies here today about dreams. If you don't know what I'm saying about dreams, or if you believe dreams are only as you believe dreams are, then maybe we got nothing to talk about, or you should bring it up when the issue comes up. Okay? Anybody? Hello, anybody?
Hello, I'm going to have to track with you. I don't know what this walking through solid space is about. I don't, if it's only to see whether my mind is malleable, maybe I'm not. I don't know.
I don't understand what you're saying. Are you asking something?
No, Patrick wasn't here last.
It sounded like you said that you only.
Oh, that's right. You weren't here last week, Patrick.
But the week before, you talked about solid space, and that we walk through solid space. And at that time, I only had marginal. Well, I can't even say that. I really didn't know what you're talking about.
Look, as long as we or others have talked about solids, they've always brought up the attitude that if you reduce a solid, like the table I'm leaning on here, that if you get it down to atoms and particles, that there is more space in a solid than there is particle stuff. That the particles or the atoms and etc. There's more space between those than there actually is particle stuff. And yet, what you're doing is, and I'm leaning on the table, it's holding me up. It is holding me up because we call that solid. And we call that solid because the nature of the particles, the atoms, the molecules, and the stuff is arranged in such a way that my arm doesn't fall through it. Now, what if we have the same situation, only it's arranged in a way, as I said 2 weeks ago, arranged in such a way that light could pass right through a solid, like a crystal, or light passes through water, or light passes through glass. Why would you not assume that in the same way that, as I said 2 weeks ago, if the molecules or particles or the whatever that makes up the mass that we're talking about, if they are arranged in such a way as to not impede me, that I could pass right through these things, could I not? Light passes through a solid, then another solid, which a light in a sense is a particle, and so then the particles of light pass through the particles of, say, glass. And so then the only thing that is different in that regard is that the particles of glass are arranged in such a way that they do not impede light. What if space is of the same ilk in such a way that the particles are there, but they're arranged in such a way that they do not impede either light or my passing through space, but they're still particles of space? Hello there, anybody?
Yep, okay.
That's all I'm saying. I'm saying
for me.
All I was saying in that is that are you willing to accept this for the moment? I didn't talk about proof or going into that. What I'm trying to say is you think space is emptiness, and are you willing to consider that turning everything you think about the emptiness of space around? And what I did was turn it around to an extreme, because in a lot of the things that we're going to do, or I'm going to do with dreams, I'm going to turn things around to extremes. And I'm just trying to warn you then that if you don't understand what I'm saying, or if you don't believe that, you will hang on to your old beliefs and not understand what I'm talking about when I talk about dreams.
Okay. Well, I get it. What you're saying is that what if space is arranged and the particles of space are arranged in such a way that not only light can pass through, but they would not impede you or me passing through.
Correct. And you could still be of the same density because maybe, in fact, there is more space in you than there is stuff. And it supports me because their arrangement doesn't allow the particles of my arm to pass through the particles of the table. Well, then maybe space is arranged in such a way that it's still stuff, but it's arranged in a way that allows me, as well as light, to pass through that stuff. And the reason I bring that up is because if you are, as I was talking about last week, if you are then willing to possibly accept that, then all sorts of things that you believe change immediately. In other words, space is no longer needs to be a fabric. You do not have to bend space like a fabric around to meet something else and create a wormhole to get from one place across the cosmos to another place. And when we start then putting a lot of Einstein's or other concepts in question, because if this is truly going on, then it could explain things moving faster than the speed of light. The speed of light is calibrated, let's call it that, relative to clock time. Well, then we can't even consider nonce time, or we can't consider dreams, yet we know dreams don't occur in clock time, yet they are there. So that's an example right there. How do we explain the fact that dreams do not occur in clock time? That which seems to be, and nor does the space of dream occur in the space as we think it is all about. If we have an example that shows one white crow, then can we not go back and say, well, if that one white crow does exist in that way, maybe that alters and changes everything else that we thought about both time and space. And if that's the case, then can we consider, what if we look at both time and space from a different perspective? Einstein put the screws to himself simply by saying, time is clock time and space is space time, or space is emptiness, is a nothingness. And as long as we stay with those parameters, we can arrange everything else after that, but we won't get anywhere. We just keep rearranging the grains of particles and the bits of time and get the same answers. Okay with that? Well, I don't want to do that with dreams. I want to introduce, okay, over 40 years ago, almost 50 years ago, I sort of got started with the dreams because I had read a lot about Edgar Cayce and gotten involved. This is before I was even really, really, really doing my readings and all of that. Oh, hey, by the way, Andrew, did you come on here? Andrew. Hello. Anybody out there?
I'm here.
Well, okay, Ewan's here, so I guess we'll have a conversation. You guys can listen in or not. I don't really care.
Still here, Raj. Thanks.
what I was saying is you were keeping account of this, but I spent a whole weekend years ago with Hugh Lynn Casey. You ought to mark that down. It's another one of those things about me that...
I didn't know, right. Okay. Who is Hugh Lynn Casey? His wife?
No, that was Edgar Casey's oldest son.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. He's dead now.
And what year was that?
Oh, early 70s.
All right.
Okay, but anyway, I got started with doing Casey's system for understanding your dreams. And there was a big seminar given in Anchorage, so we went down to Anchorage and got all involved in the dreams in the Edgar Casey way and all of that kind of stuff. Well, you know, I started doing dreams and I thought right off, hey, this is easier than greased snot. There's no problem here at all. And so I started doing dream classes and etc. One thing I learned very quickly is Edgar Casey's way or process of understanding your dreams is actually very complicated. But I feel that I was lucky by starting out with a complicated process, because like if you can understand a complicated process, damn, that's kind of like understanding that space is really a solid and you push through space. If we look at this thing from sort of a, wow, you know, the way we've always thought about these things, from a more complicated position, then everything after that changes and simplifies. So if I could understand Casey's way of explaining dreams, then I figured, well, okay, then I can explain that to others. And then along the way in explaining that, the process became simplify, simplify, simplify. Personalize as well. His process didn't, to me, personalize things the way dreams are personal to you. Anyway, that was some almost 40 years ago. And since then, I've started every time with a sort of a consistent, for want of a better word, a consistent introduction to dreams. But this time, what I want to do is I wanted to get into a broader, more expansive way of understanding what the heck your dreams are all talking about. In other words, a short, simple definition of dreams is they reveal how you're living your life regardless of how you think you're living your life. Well, that's okay, but that doesn't really say very much, and it keeps you really thinking only about yourself. Well, dreams give you advice into seeing, knowing, and understanding your problems and difficulties so you can heal them or fix yourself or resolve your problem. Well, yeah, that's okay, but that just mucks around in your everyday world, and that doesn't really take dreams, no, it doesn't show dreams in their more complete light. If I was then going to show dreams from a different perspective, I had to get it out of in a more fuller perspective. I had to get things like space out of talking about space as a fabric, and that we demonstrate this by having a fabric and a heavy ball in it, a dimple space, and then we have another ball running around, falling down the dimpled fabric toward the heavy ball, the way Einstein and scientists always explain this. Well, that's okay. The problem is it leaves so darn many... No. It creates so darn many problems and difficulties in its explanation that don't make sense. Well, then, talking about your dreams in the normal way creates more problems for you that don't make sense. So if I was going to try to deal with some of those problems, and I'm going to, if we have enough time tonight, deal with some of those problems, then I need to introduce dreams and show you how dreams are more expansive and more extensive, than you ever thought about them from before. There. Anybody want to comment on that? Nobody gives a shit? Well, that's the case, then for the last week I have been writing 30 or some odd pages for a new introduction. And I'm going to start reading this new introduction, part of it, and some other things. So, interrupt anytime you don't understand. It's kind of like if you don't understand solid space, interrupt. If you don't understand what I'm saying, then interrupt. Tonight's presentation is called Life is an Open Secret. This, by the way, will come out as Pericope 37. Since your earliest times of life in this glorious realm, you have engaged in a continuous struggle for survival. Survival in a body and life and world which you considered to be a mystery that constantly threatened your very existence. And because you have gone about the business of caring for your body and survival and neglected, until you almost forgot, the true nature of yourself and life as an eternal, illuminated being called resplendent, that is the communion of a personal being and privileged being. Well, ordinary matters close at hand dominate yourself and life and struggles every day. They do because they seem easy to sense and grasp onto and manipulate as language dictates. While extensive and expansive matters that are more difficult to grasp onto and understand, which are outside of the demands of language, are transfigured to dancing visions in nonce time as dreams. Dancing visions, that means images that move, like moving pictures, like TV, dancing, moving, visions, pictures, images, things going on. And they always happen in nonce time. So, by the way, next week, presentation will be called Dancing Visions in Nonce Time. Isn't that a surprise? Well, if you believe that dreams which can be fearful and confusing or even inspiring are nonsensical byproducts of a sleeping brain, then ask yourself, why in the world would nature send me on these nightly voyages with a highly activated brain and in a paralyzed body? Got that?
Got that.
Because usually in your dreams, although there are reasons why, in the REM state, your body is paralyzed. Mind is active and body is paralyzed. And why would nature then force me to watch and participate in these adventures called dreams? There must be a reason for that. I mean, that's a very complicated process that we go through every night. And yet, there must be a reason for it, rather than just saying they are nonsensical byproducts of a sleeping brain or the trash of your computer and all of that kind of stuff. But if you want to think that way, then that's the old way of thinking about dreams. And like space is nothing, that nonsensical part is like thinking space is empty. Then your dreams are empty and worthless and etc. The question is, why would nature do that to me every night? 4 or 5 times every night. For if your dreams are nonsensical, aren't these actions of nature some nonsensical as well? So the question is it possible that dreams help you make sense of your daily self and life that actually makes no real sense to you? You don't understand that. Everybody understands that. Yeah. You think that your daily life makes sense to you? I doubt it. I doubt that anybody listening in could actually tell me without snickering and laughing or with a straight face the real actual sense of your daily life and activities.
I agree.
Could dreams offer revelations of yourself and life you were unaware of before? Could it offer things like, gee, space isn't empty, it's a solid that you push through? Now, if you had a dream illustrating that, you would think this is nonsensical. Maybe it's not. Maybe there are a lot of things in your life that would be just like, let's say, I heard today about some guy who said his dream was about a head of lettuce floating in a big bowl of milk. Wouldn't that be like a head of lettuce pushing its way through a space, solid space, sort of milk in that regard? Well, now all of these things that seem so nonsensical in your dreams really are not nonsensical at all. They are very sensical. Could your dreams be images of an unconscious mind or a doorway to a secret self and life? Maybe they're visions of a long forgotten and neglected eternal self and life, which is true, and haven't normally gone into that aspect of dreams simply because most people weren't prepared to even consider that. Well, you are prepared. So,
hey, Rod, I'll question right here. You said my daily life doesn't make sense. I agree with that. But if my dreams don't seem to make any clearer sense, in fact, sometimes they seem more ridiculous. Like, you know, a head of lettuce floating through milk. It seems like it'd be an easier way to talk about me going through a solid. Or am I mistaken here?
Well, two things that are amok in what you said, and one of the things you said betray you.
Okay.
If you are a personal being and a privileged being, if you are that, then would it not be then that maybe dreams are talking about you as a personal being and always talking about you, and also talking about you as an eternal being?
Both, yes.
Well, then you that I see Andrew is both personal being Andrew and eternal being Anu. But I only see Andrew. Then the dreams that you see are referring to Andrew and also showing you an image or a picture of Anu.
Okay.
Then you said, wouldn't there be an easier way to talk about that? No. In the same sense that if you talk about your eternal being, you'll bitch it all up.
Oh, languaging. Does languaging kill it, Ben?
I didn't hear you.
So
by having the this imaging going on in your dreaming, does that put aside languaging, which tends to screw things up?
No. What it does, and I'm going to go into that in some detail, it shows you very clearly what is going on. The problem is that, remember what we said, I said earlier, is that dreams occurring in non-time and a different space-time, in a different space as well, which you would always agree with in that regard, because something that occurs for a month will occur in seconds in the dream, and something that occurs in space or in a sequence of space can be moved and turned around, because the space is molecules of occasions, that the dream is being presented in a whole different, allow me this, context. The problem is you change that back to, as the dreamer, the observer, remember that, you change that as the observer back to the way that you are accustomed to observing. So you change not time into clock time, and you change non-space into ordinary space.
Right.
Now, worse than that, which we'll get into here, but I'll preface it, you add a whole lot of crap to your dream because it didn't make sense the way you wanted sense to be made to you. In other words, instead of you understanding the dream, you manipulate the dream to be presented in the way you want it to be presented, and lost all understanding of the dream. We will clearly illustrate that. Does that answer your question, Sally?
Yes. But languaging is in there somewhere, isn't it?
No.
In terms of that?
No.
No?
No. There's no... Well, once in a while, things are said things, but even normally, that's not a part of the dream.
Okay.
I'll clearly try to illustrate that. That what you hear being said is not part of the dream. What you think is occurring is not part of the dream.
Okay.
Those are all your add-ons while the dream is occurring. And there is a reason as to why you add those things into the dream, and we'll discuss that. Okay, whatever dreams are about, we can say that the communion of your personal being, privileged being, has long been neglected, and it's kind of sort of been left to languish in the darkness. So the question is, isn't it about time to bring that otherness of yourself together again in communion?
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to do that, then we have to find a way to find out what the dream is saying. We have to get it down to bare bones and get all your nonsensical add-ons out of the way. Now, wouldn't that, so that you know what the dream is saying and not what you think or say the dream is saying when you both experience the dream and when you write it down and tell me what happened. When you write it down and tell me what happened, most of what you write down never, never happened.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
It wasn't in the dream. If you say in the dream, oh, I wasn't afraid at all. I wasn't afraid at all isn't in the dream. That was an add-on, a Sally add-on. Oh, I felt joy and pleasure. That's not in the dream. That's another Sally add-on.
Okay.
the add-ons are like, as I'm observing the dream, in my dream, I'm making commentary to myself?
Of course you are. And not only that, what you're doing is you're trying to convert it from nonce time to clock time, or nonce space to regular concepts that you already believe. Well, if you're going to convert everything to what you already believe, why bother?
Okay, so the dream that I remember in the morning is an amalgamation of the dream and my commentary and my effort to convert it.
And a whole lot of other crap, too. So, if we want to get down to finding out, let's say, we'll allow this for the moment, what the dream gods are saying to you, when I use that phrase, the dream gods are saying to you, that's really you saying to you, then we have to get down to only those aspects that are dream-related, not your reaction and responses to the dream in the dream. Remember we say in quantum physics that the observer controls the dream? Well, I got news. I mean, it controls the experiment. You do the same thing in your dreams. You control the dreams. You make it difficult for anybody to say anything to you that is other than what you already believe. And you won't even believe that space is a solid.
Okay.
Okay,
so I was testing. Is space a solid? Well, yeah, it's a solid. Well, then maybe we can understand your dreams then. So the question is, why go into doing and understanding dreams if you're going to screw with them to only make them say what you already want them to say? So if we're going to go this into dreams, then we have to find out what dreams are saying. We don't really care what you have to say about what the dreams are saying. Okay? Actually, you know, you live as though there is no life beyond what you allow yourself to sense and think about. You seem to have no knowledge about or interest in anything other than what concerns you at the moment. It's as though there is no world other than the one you live in and struggle with.
Right.
Which is what I see every day. Well, there is a great deal more than that world. It's as though the horizon of your world is the limit and end of everything, when in fact that's just the beginning. But this beginning is not beyond this world. It is completely enfolded within this world, waiting for you to consider things in a new and different way. The first thing you must do is come out of your inner world and ordinary self and life and investigate what is all around you. Certainly I would get some comments about that statement, would I not?
Roger.
Come out of your inner world and ordinary self and life and investigate what is all around you.
Okay.
Find your head of lettuce floating in a bowl of milk. Life is not a mystery nor an enigma. It is an open secret that unfolds to you every night.
Okay.
Learning, growing, and developing is not enough. For very few highly educated, well-traveled, and acclaimed individuals know much of anything about themselves and their life. Why do you suppose that is? If you're learning, growing, and developing, then how come the education didn't help him any? Well, the answer is you've always wanted an excuse for not really knowing yourself, so consider that all of life is an unresolvable paradox. Of course, this sentence is false. For if the sentence is true, then the sentence is true. Excuse me. For if the sentence is true, that the sentence is false, this means the sentence is true only if it is false. Everybody certainly understands that, do you not? Does that make any sense to anybody out there?
Start with the original sentence first.
I said, consider that all of life is an unresolvable paradox.
Okay.
Of course, this sentence is false. For if this sentence is true, that the sentence is false, this means the sentence is true only if it is false.
Because life is an unresolvable paradox.
I don't think you know what I'm talking about, Sally.
Well, I'm trying to get what false, true, false is.
Well, let's go a little bit further.
Okay.
Does that make any sense to you? And to Sally, the answer is no. But of course, this statement can't be proved. Because if it is true, then the statement is false and cannot be true, proved false. And if I am a liar, then I am telling the truth. Or if I'm lying about being a liar, then I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying. Wait a minute. All of this gets complicating and confusing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But in addition, you don't even know what I am lying about, do you?
No.
Is it about all of life is an unresolvable paradox? Or is it about this sentence is false? Do you know? I wasn't even talking about the sentence, all of life is an unresolvable paradox. I was talking about this sentence is false.
The sentence that you were saying is false.
That's right. The sentence that I'm saying, that this sentence is false, is what I'm talking about. But you joined the two together and couldn't understand anything.
Of course I did, because it was a sentence that came before, and this sentence referred to that in my mind.
That's right. Big mistake. You do that with dreams. What you do is that in a dream, those are two separate occasions.
You joined them.
You joined them, and you do that in a dream, and then wonder why you don't understand what the dream is saying.
You did the same thing with the stories that were read.
That's right. You see?
Didn't we?
And that's why you don't understand life, too, because I'll get into that. You connect things that are not to be connected because your brain doesn't make sense unless they are connected. You won't leave things alone the way they're shown to you or said to you so that you could truly understand them. No. You've got to connect one thing to something else so you're absolutely certain that it makes no sense whatsoever to you. And then you can go ahead to continue believing what you already believe.
Right.
Well, this difficulty of language has been known for a long time, ever since an ancient Greek philosopher declared that all Greeks are liars, and no one could tell whether he was telling the truth or lying, such that this became known as the liar's paradox, simply because, well, if all Greeks are liars, and the philosopher is a Greek, then he should know. Then he's lying about all Greeks being liars, isn't he? Because if he's telling the truth, then being a Greek, he's lying.
Yeah, right.
Got it?
Got it.
Okay. All self-referential awarenesses are trapped in a liar's paradox. That seems so right, yet is so very wrong. Or maybe it is best to say that they are neither right or wrong, but you won't go there. You gotta have it your way, one way, this or that.
Right.
And this is the self and life you are creating and living today. That your dreams are dealing with.
Right.
And this is the self and life, creating and living today, which is why matters in your life seem meaningless and without purpose. You would say, well, Roger, I think the last two paragraphs pointed that out. That's the most meaningless crap I've heard in a long time. Well, not really, because I'm trying to show you that by your making connections that aren't connections, by your creating add-ons, by your dealing with emotions and saying things and feelings and etc., and adding that to the dream in that regard, there is no way you could understand what your dreams are saying.
So you're really tromping all over yourself by just trying to make sense of the dream. You're catching yourself.
But what you're doing is, you haven't even got the dream down to what the dream is saying, so you can make sense of what the dream is saying. You only have it down to your add-ons, your connectors, your feelings, your thoughts, your ways, your conversations, your emotions, and your already beliefs.
Right.
So what good are your damn dreams to you?
Right.
Not a whole lot. Well,
right.
you do the same thing with life. Life is presenting certain things. It's not an enigma, and it's not a puzzle, and it's not a secret. But by the time you overlay it with all your usual crap, as we all do, then no wonder we don't understand the life we're living. And it is those struggles because of we're looking at the wrong thing that they create all the struggles and conflicts in your life and all the ailments in your body. Ain't that nice to know? Ain't that just special? Well, the problem is that not realizing the unsolvable self-referential nature of what has become known as the liar's paradox, back there when we were talking about the Greeks, the Romans were eager to point out that since one of Greece's own philosophers has said that all Greeks are lazy, self-involved liars, he has surely spoken the truth, without realizing that if he is speaking the truth, then he's a liar.
Right.
And in much the same way, your life and awareness have become a liar's paradox through denial of yourself, and who should have actually known better. You know that? Well, in all of this, you can't avoid the self-referential entanglements by simply declaring, well, this isn't about me, this is about some other person or something else, not about me. But you even continue this self-deception and you construct a limited and false image of yourself in life. So, the question is, who are you? Do you know? Can you know who you are or even know what your life is all about in such a self-referential, confusing situation? A single theory or belief of you, a single theory or belief of you cannot even exist for you to know. Have you ever considered that? A single theory or belief of you cannot even exist for you to know. Simply because such an awareness or knowing entangles you in an endless web of beliefs, experiences, and memories that are too self-referential to know. Fortunately, dreams have a way to untangle your personal self-referential web of confusions and self-deceit.
That's the lettuce in the milk.
It can tell you what lettuce in a bowl of milk is all about. Let us understand what a bowl, what something floating in a bowl of milk is all about.
Okay.
Since you are in this world, in the universe, you are of worldly, universal stuff. Therefore, anything you know or say about anyone or anything is actually about you. But of course, that's too self-referential to be proven.
Right.
Or to be shown to be true. Unless, of course, there are two of you.
Oh.
Then, we got it here. Of course, unless there's two of you, then you are not a liar nor a truth teller. You are a liar and a truth teller.
Okay.
And doesn't that make matters easier to understand?
Right, that ends the paradox.
Oh, does it? Or does it get you more deeply involved? We'll see.
Right.
If there is only one of you, or one known or knowable you, everything in life will be unknown or seem truly paradoxical. Denying the authority of yourself while simultaneously maintaining the authority of your beliefs and your experiences and your memories entangles you more tightly in a being and life that is too self-referential to understand, let us head, or even to make any real meaning and purpose or sense of. And in this, you can't even know what you do not know, or know whether what you know of yourself is right or wrong. So, well, you grasp tightly to what you believe you know, and entangle yourself further in unknowing. The question is, let's see if we can untangle just a bit of this. Of course, this is like, did anybody ever do the Course of Miracles? You ever did the Follow the Course of Miracles? It follows the same sort of thing. It creates you in a tangled mess that you didn't have in the first place. Well, you didn't think you did. That only the Course of Miracles can solve. So I'm giving you your dreams as a course of miracles. But what I've really tried to do is to show you that whether you realize it or not, your life and everything that you are doing, believing, and considering you are doing, and the meaning and purpose of your life and self, is so entangled in this same self-referential paradox that you have no idea what's really going on. And unless we can sort out this paradox in terms of dreams, or a way in dreams to sort this out, you can't sort it out in your life. All right, where was I? Okay, since you only know things in life relative to yourself, and knowing yourself only relative to yourself is too self-referential to know or even make any sense, this means that you are to you. That's T-O-O. You are to you to even know yourself. Therefore, dreams must transfigure you from the you know or think you know to a you don't know or don't believe you know or even can know, in order for you to know who you are. I guess dreams have to transfigure you to a head of lettuce. Aha! And in that, then, you don't believe you're a head of lettuce, but maybe in speaking in those terms, you could begin to know who you are. So it transfigures the words, or your words or beliefs about yourself, which are only wordings of language, into visions and images that really show who you actually are, to avoid the liar's paradox of language. But when you try to unravel that, you put it back from the visions as presented by the dream. You put those visions right back into language and right back into the liar's paradox that started in the first place. Got that understood?
Yeah.
Say with me, Sally. It doesn't sound like anybody else. They're either laughing up their sleeve or they've gone. Hey, Sally.
Yes.
Would you do me a favor? Well, I can't hardly hear you, but I did get a request here some weeks ago. Would I please ask Sally to have a glass of wine, because she's so much more fun with a glass of wine. So, about now, would you go get a glass of wine, and we'll continue. See, you've gained a reputation.
Oh, that's great. And you don't even know if I've had a glass of wine or not.
No, I certainly don't. You're always too confusing to figure out anyway.
But I'm a lot of fun. So Roger, also in dreams, you have not time. And outside of dreams, you have your space and your time. And that's where you also think you know yourself, because you have space or time, and you refer to things that happen before, after, and during.
Well, really what's going on is in your dreams, you have nonce time that seem to be clock time. And you have the same situation outside of. You have nonce time and clock time working in communion. And you don't... And you try to resolve that communion by putting everything into clock time, And the minute you do that, you create the paradox. It isn't really, as I said before. Man, I had a battle with a gal who was a book editor at one time, and I said, paradoxes don't exist in the universe. Man, she nearly went ballistics about paradox. Well, they don't actually exist in the universe. They seem to occur in language, and we think that they occur in the language, I mean in the universe, but they don't really occur in the universe. See? Since you can only know things, yourself included, relative to yourself, to know anything, then you must get out of your own way. You see, when you then try to understand your dream, you put your own self, emotions, feelings, connectors, and crap shit all over your dream, and then you tell us that version of the dream. The problem with getting out of your own way is that if you get out of the way, you can't know anything. Unless, of course, you know things relative to a you that is you, but is not you.
Roger, in a dream, it seems that you're participant, observer, you're there, you're participating, you're observing, and it seems to be a flip-flop. So you don't have a distinction as that there's one you. It seems that you're in two different places at the same time, and you flip back and forth. Would that have something to do with the two-nesses or the...
Well, the point of it is, you think you are only one you, and not realizing the things that you just said, that you're moving back and forth from observer to participator. And then if you get into lucid dreaming, then it becomes an even more complicated situation.
Right.
Okay. Therefore, to understand your dreams, you must understand that your dreams are also referring to a you that is not who you think you are, old Miss Lettucehead. Or who that you don't believe yourself to be. So the question is, are you really you? Oh, if you are really you, do you know if this is true? Then, if that's so, then dreams must be all about you. In fact, dreams clearly reveal the self and life you are living. As I said before, regardless of the self and life you believe you are living and experiencing and remembering. Therefore, if how you are living yourself in life is false, damn, a dream cannot reveal that simply because what is revealed would be false to you. For that is how you are living and experiencing yourself in life. However, for the dream to be false, it must be true. But of course, then, if the dream is true, then it must be false. If dreams are only about you, and they are, then dreams about you only refer to themselves. And a dream about you is too self-referential to know. Or is it? Remember, I did start this off and said that life and dreams are not an enigma. So keep that in mind. Somewhere along the line, we may figure out something about this. Self-referential dreams enable you to see and understand the truth of yourself. and all things. Yet being self-referential, dreams create a paradox that keeps you from knowing yourself, unless, of course, the you of dreams is a different you. Well, we'll illustrate this with a little dream. The dream is about 35 years old, and it's about a dream from a woman in Alaska. And here is the dream. I woke, and then she put in parens, in my dream. And I was standing in the dark just in front of the door. Oh, I was wearing a robe and holding a small bowl with two glass cups in it. And even though it was dark, it was warm. And I think there were street lights because I could see well and I wasn't at all frightened. I remember wondering why I was outside. So I turned to the door and tried to open it. It was locked. This didn't bother me either. I just said to myself, I'll let myself in the back door. Everybody got that dream sort of in mind? Gal standing outside the thing and it was dark at night and she said it was warm because nights in Fairbanks, Alaska could be pretty, pretty cold and etc. And dark as pitch, yet it was light because she could see. She tried the door and said it was locked, and then she said, well, I'll just go try to go in the back door. Simple little 4 or 5 sentence dream. Well, a house in your dream depicts yourself. The question is, how could you possibly be locked out of yourself? If you are alive, then the dream must be false. So you'll probably declare, oh, that you are locked out of the self and life you truly desire. But the dream doesn't indicate that. So if the dream is true, then that is false. And if that is true, then the dream is false. This paradox is resolved only if the woman in the dream is two beings. And though she appears in the dream as a personal being, she is locked out of herself as an eternal, privileged being. Got it? Only does that, in that way, resolve what otherwise remains a paradox. So we could do all sorts with dreams, all sorts of things with dream, but until you are willing to consider that you are, actually like space that is empty and solid, that you are two people simultaneously so in communion, you will never resolve the paradox of your dreams nor the paradox of your life. Taking a breath now, does anybody want to comment?
I have a question. You said viewing the woman as a two-ness, she's locked out of her eternal self, or your eternal self is locked out of herself? I wasn't sure what you meant.
I said she's locked out of her eternal self, because if your house represents yourself, since we already have her in the dream, then the house must represent herself in a different herself.
Okay.
And in the same way, if it's telling her she's locked out of herself, that just can't be her as a personal self, because if she exists, she exists in her personal self.
I see. Okay.
You see, when you really stop to think about it and take dreams one census at a time or look at them closely, you can unravel the paradox that occurs.
Okay.
Yes. Ewan wants to say something.
I was wondering, when she feels warm, although it's cold outside, she looks at light, but it's dark outside. So there's some false statements about some truths there?
Or? No, we'll get into this in a minute, but when she says, let's start over again. The dream is talking to her in images and visions. Then do you suppose that the dream vision said she is warm? She added that to the dream. Okay. The dream never said that at all. The dream never said she could see. She added that to the dream. And with that add, if we then interpret it with all her add-ons, no matter what we say at the end, she's going to only maintain her already add-ons. And she's never going to seriously understand what the dream is talking about.
So that was a logical...
What?
That was a kind of logical assessment, because there was light and there should have been some street lights.
Let's assume that that's the case. But that isn't anything that is said by the dream.
So it's her logic.
Her mind is trying to make sense of something. How come it's dark out here? It should be cold. But she's saying to herself, there must be street lights because I can see, and it must be warm. Everybody understand that? But that's not part of the dream. Or did I go wrong somewhere? Does everybody understand that I could see is not part of the dream, or I was warm is not part of the dream?
Yes, I can understand that.
Question and commentary, yeah.
What you're doing in that regard is you're laying all your eggs into trying to understand the dream by trying to understand her responses and all the crap that she's laying on top of the dream. You haven't cleared it down to find out what the dream is saying. You're listening to her. And unfortunately, you're not listening to what your dream is saying. You're listening to you. And if you want to listen to you, don't bring the dream to dream class. Okay, I'm just kidding. Your dreams not only reveal yourself and life today as a she in the dream, they also reveal your greatest desires. They also portray the truth and secrets of you as an eternal being. All these things that you have neglected and forgotten for a long time. So in that, then, you are locked out of this eternal self and life. Does it seem to be wise to continue in this loss of self, this eternal loss of house, locked out of, loss of eternal self? And then the rest of the dream discusses the woman's attempt to regain entry to her eternal self and life through the back door. Though it is frequently declared that the most important things dreams offer are clear images of your problems and afflictions and guidance in resolving these matters, in fact, that is not so. The most important thing dreams offer is an expansive and extensive awareness of yourself and eternal being. And about your eternal life. Because in that way, then, those difficulties don't even occur, or are not continued as issues in your body and life today. Or maybe like this woman's dream, so you can awarefully live your personal self and being in communion with your eternal self and being in the house again. Or you might say, in the eternal house of yourself. Dreams enable you to see and experience yourself and life from mortal and eternal perspectives, functioning together in communion. So the question is, are you willing to wake up to a more expansive image of yourself and life today? And we got a yes nod and a ho 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 from Yvonne at this end. So, but that's what you have to really look into. If you want to interpret your dreams only to understand your daily affairs, so effing what seems to occur along in this, why not understand your dreams to from an eternal perspective and know yourself from that perspective? Your eternal self reached through dreams is a vast source of awareness and realization, arranged and woven just for you, by you. So the question is, why do you ignore your own understandings? Understandings that transcend yourself and life today. Yet, these understandings are clearly revealed in every action and activity from a different perspective. And they're explained to you in your dreams. Don't forget, by the way, in about 20 minutes, we're going to just all of a sudden have our card, prepaid card, run out, and we're going to get cut off. So wherever we're cut off, that's where we'll pick up next week.
Are you going to know when you're cut off?
No, that's why I'm going to, in about 10 or 15 minutes, I'm going to start asking, is anybody out there? And I need somebody to keep responding. I can't even hear you breathe. I don't know if you're out there.
We're here.
Well, keep humming so we know.
So, Roger.
So, Sally.
People say, okay, if you have a problem, ask a question or think about it, and then go to sleep and ask for the solution, and you'll wake up and have the solution. What's your take on that?
My take on that is that, like healers, like fixers, like teachers, if I give you a solution to the illness or problem, I'm keeping you in the illness and the problem.
Okay.
There's an old statement that you cannot solve a problem at the level of the problem. That may or may not be true, but if the dream shows you, relative to the problem, an aspect of your eternal self and life that you could be living,
right,
and in that, then it doesn't mesh you in the problem, it gives you an eternal self and life way to live. That resolves your problem without mucking around at the level of the problem.
Okay.
That's my take on that. Or, if it doesn't solve the problem, at least while the problem is there, it isn't carried on as an issue. And that's my take on that.
Okay.
Actually, dreams do not tap into universal wisdom. Doesn't that disappoint everybody? They introduce you to your own awareness and realizations. Thus, insights and information are not given to you in dreams. Dreams reveal the insights and information you have been denying or ignoring or have forgotten.
Right.
understanding your dreams creates an intimate awareness of yourself and life today. Dreams introduce you to your eternal self and knowing that you have neglected for an awful long time. Dreams enhance your communion and your communication. Dreams bring true meaning and purpose to your life, and they guide you to an awareness and experience of nonce time. Dreams reduce struggles and issues in your life, and they help you identify opportunities, and they also offer you eternal knowledge. And in presenting images of yourself and life after death, so that you can properly understand your dreams, this removes your fear and concerns about death. And this enables you to create the self and life you truly desire after death. The question is, are these enough reasons for you to begin understanding your dreams as an eternal being? Not only for your own actions and activities today, but also for, well, your eternal self and life. When problems and afflictions seem overwhelming, as Sally would say, your dreams, in clearly revealing your eternal self and life, which returns true meaning to you and purpose to you and every aspect of every occasion, of every situation, of every part of your body and life, this offers understanding to ease your pain and difficulties. Got it, Sally? Somebody clear your throat and say something. Okay, we're still on.
Yes.
Dreams offer a very personal, ongoing, gratis, G-R-A-D-U-S.
Oh.
Or an instruction manual. See, you thought you came to life and life didn't offer you an instruction manual, and yet you've been reading your instruction manual every night, and you didn't understand what was written there. Or what, they even gave you the learned instruction manuals with pictures, and you didn't understand the pictures. Do you regularly change the oil in the body of your life? So, you have an instruction manual to help you master all of the difficult and, well, the seemingly difficult art aware of awarefully living your true self. And your true self is a communion of a personal being, eternal being. And your dreams show you that communion. They show you both of these things. But if we only interpret them to then understand your personal being, not the duality of yourself in that regard, but only to show you your personal being, then the dream is too self-referential for you to ever understand. But it shows you actually the communion of a personal being, eternal being, such that there are no unimportant or less important matters in your body and life. Everything in your body and life is significant. And only if you understand yourself in a duality, wait a minute, in a non-imposing duality, only if you understand yourself as a two-ness or a duality, in that regard, do you untangle the self-referential duality of all of life. So the question is, what the hell is life all about, do you know? And another question is what is your life all about? Why have you chosen to be here? Your dreams have answers to these questions, and the question is, are you interested?
Yeah.
If not, you're certainly welcome to continue yourself in life as usual, only don't bitch. Because your dreams will fully support you in doing just that. I think I've said that for about 15 or 20 years. Your brain, if not open to your eternal self, and the mind of your eternal self, will only act and react according to its recent programs, most of which are faulty, deceptive, and certainly not personal to you. Your mind will only react to space being empty and time being clock time, none of which is true as an only, nor is any of that then personal to you. Because if space is not space that is personal to you, and time is actually not time personal to you, then everything in your life is personal to you. But unfortunately, your programs, most of your programs are faulty, deceptive, and not even advisable for you to follow. Because that creates endless problems, difficulties, and misunderstandings in your actions and activities today, and that keeps you from living the self and life you truly desire. Does that sound familiar? You were not by the way, I've got to bring this up because I hear this so many times. You were not programmed for a disappointing and discouraging self and life by your parents, nor by your early conditions, or by your teachings, nor by your teachers. You accepted these distorted beliefs and programs and these untruths, and you used them to your own loss of authority and detriment, merely because you had forsaken your eternal mind and awareness, and you forsook all of your eternal mind and awareness for faulty language programs. And only later then did you wonder why you did all of that. Still there, anybody?
Here I am.
Okay.
Roger.
Yes.
I'm going to ask a question on a term. Is imaginative minding in your waking life the same as eternal self, the one that you commune with in your dream?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Well, all of your distorted beliefs and programs remain with you today and will remain with you forever. You can't get rid of them. And you can't remove them in any way. However, you don't have to constantly activate them. Isn't that a surprise? And if you don't activate them, you don't lose yourself and life to those limited and faulty programs. What the hell difference does it make? Your dreams are there to enliven you to your eternal self and mind and to what you truly desire. Of course, if you don't apply your eternal awarenesses and realizations in every action and situation, you will quickly default yourself in life to your old misprogrammings. but that's your decision. By continuing your early programming, you will accumulate more untruths. Actually, you'll accumulate more and more and more and more untruths to struggle endlessly against. And you will not be given your, you will not gain, excuse me, awarenesses and realizations to thrive in. You'll spend all your time struggling with and against those untruth early programmings. Insane, but true. Unless I'm lying. But if I'm lying, I'm telling the truth. Though your dreams seem to offer you ways to understand and resolve and overcome your problems and difficulties, your dreams actually offer you a new image of the eternal self and life you are creating and living with every act and experience. Should you care to know yourself intimately and broadly. Dreams do not help you get in touch with a higher self, a true self, or a God self. You reveal your eternal self through dreams for you to commune with and live with as one. God and your eternal self do not reveal themselves to you in dreams. You reveal these aspects of yourself to yourself and speak to yourself as God, as an eternal being. In every experiment, remember I said this earlier, or event in life, like it or not, any observer made of the same stuff of the universe is part of that happening. And on many occasions actually determines the very outcome of occurrences. And this is especially true with dreams. But you don't believe that. You think dreams are just speaking to you. Well, in fact, in watching or participating in the dream, you fully determine the dream. Got it? If that is that in your watching or participating in the dream, it fully determines the dream, that does not mean you are only determining the interpretation or understanding of the dream. Though this is certainly true. But you determine the very nature and facts and storyline of the dream every step by step or occasion by occasion along the way. You think that you are looking at and listening to, or if you're participating in a storyline in your dream, unless you are lucid dreaming, that you are not determining the dream. That is not true. Lucid dreaming is another thing, another way in which you are participating in the dream. But under order, are we, anybody still there? We should be cut off pretty soon.
I hear you, but it sounds like you bleeped out.
No, we're still here. But it is the fact that you are creating the dream all along the way, just like the gal finds herself outside, then she does this and feels that, and then she tries the door, and the door is locked, and then says she'll go around the back. This isn't happening and she's observing this. She is actually doing this in the dream.
Hey, Roger, got a question. In this creating that you're talking about, it sounds like it's a little more like, well, I don't know, I have an image of, I'm not really creating a consciousness, it's more like I'm, it's showing me each second what I'm, the way I'm being or something, and that creates it.
Well, yeah, it's not showing, you're showing yourself how you're being at every moment. And in fact is, which we'll get into probably not tonight now then, that if you you know in your dreams they can switch scenes at a second, can they not?
Yep.
Did you ever consider that they switch scenes at a second either because you understood what was going on or stubbornly resisted what was going on?
I hadn't thought about it, but okay, yeah.
But you can now understand this, or it can switch time forwards and backwards, can it not? But you never considered that as the dream is going on, if you understand what that previous part of the dream was all about, Well, if that's the case, let's talk about something else. Or if in the dream you are stubbornly resisting what we were talking about a minute ago, then the dream may have to say, well, in other words, let's go discuss this from a different perspective. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, just wanted to make, I got to get an answer just so I know you're still there.
Here.
Okay.
Maybe ask something?
Huh? Yeah.
So related to what you mentioned, who's deciding? Is it like another, who's reasoning the
you
fact?
You are.
I didn't understand. I mean,
you are really telling yourself what is really going on, and you are talking to yourself as to whether you understand what is really going on, or whether you, as Ewan, are going to insist on staying with the belief you already believe. You know what the dream is saying, Ewan? You don't really believe all the things you believe. And so you're presenting that, let's call it for the moment, dichotomy in such a way that you could then begin, well, if I don't really believe that, then what might it be that I am truly believing? And then you're just self-talking through a dream. Actually, that's the only thing you're doing in your life, is self-talking your way through life. You still with us down there, Sally?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, what if you wake up, and I know people that don't remember or can't remember their dreams?
Well, it means that, like I said in the beginning, people who think that they are nonsense or don't have a way to really understand the language of their dreams, there's no sense then that they understand these things. Yet the self-talking goes on. The question is, if you understand the self-talking that's going on in a dream, don't you think that might kind of make life and things a little easier?
That would.
And make life a little less trial and error-ish? So, while I said, all instant changes of time and scene in a dream occur in non-time, they also reflect changes of awareness and understanding in you, or stubbornness in your own beliefs and ways. Mostly, usually, the thing is stubbornness in our own beliefs and ways, and so therefore the dream is saying, well, I guess we'll take another look at that.
And I dream a lot. I have a very vivid dream life.
Well, if you dream a lot, then Sally, the first and most important thing you must learn right now is the dream is not guiding and advising you.
I know, but I have a really interesting dream.
Yeah, you are directing the dream.
More interesting than my real everyday life, actually.
That's right.
I look forward to my dreams and I remember them.
Okay. Well, send me some, because here pretty soon we're going to have some dreams in order for us to interpret or discuss.
Oh, but then you'll see how well I fool myself.
Well,
if
you're directing your dreams, then maybe you can understand that maybe you can understand your addiction to cause and effect. I don't take this personal, Sally, but I have to say this. Your addiction to cause and effect and to constant struggle to manipulate matters in your own life, to your own liking. That's what cause and effect is all about. You're trying to actually manipulate matters to your own liking.
Yes.
Okay. But you're trying to do that without even understanding what you're doing.
Right.
Seeking guidance and dreams always begins with denying or ignoring your own awareness and realization. It also begins with your refusal to relinquish old habits and beliefs. And those are old beliefs and habits that haven't really worked for you in the past. So why do you keep hanging on to them?
You have 1 minute remaining on your card.
Thank you kindly. So, be careful of what you ask for from your dreams, because you already possess that guidance and information. The question is, why are you denying that and forsaking yourself so? Well, with that, we'll quit tonight and get ready for talking about dancing and visions in Nantes time next week.
Okay.
Good night for now.